This free resource is from the 2013 Spiritual Leadership Conference in Lancaster, California, hosted by Pastor Paul Chapel in the Lancaster Baptist Church. This lesson is on the role of the assistant pastor with Jerry Furso. Brother Furso serves as an associate pastor at Lancaster Baptist Church, where he directs the soul winning and outreach ministries.
Thank you, men, for coming, and just wanted to share some things with you today that hopefully would be a help and encouragement to you, because not all of us are called to be the senior pastor. And we'll get into it. I'm getting ahead of myself, but not all of us. And there needs to be, if God's called you to be a second man, in reality, that's first place for you. And there needs to be a sense of contentment that comes into your heart, that you understand that this is what God has made for you, and that you embrace it, you love it, and you run with it. I'm sure not all of you, some of you guys are fairly young still. There may be some times when you're kind of going through that stage of wondering, okay, is this what God wants me to do the rest of my life? And then I went through that. I went through that time where I had some opportunities to go other places, but my wife and I, we prayed, and we really sense that this is where God wants us for sure. Just recently we had something that came across our path, but you know what? I didn't even entertain it, because I just knew that this is what God wanted me to do. And I've come to that place in my life that, you know, this is what God has for me. And that's been a great, bringing a sense of peace to my heart. Boy, when I was wondering, you know, should I go do this or do that? That was difficult, because it's, you're kind of, your heart is torn. And it's great to just have that, to nail that down in your heart that, hey, this is what God has for me. And I know that God could move me, but I'm not looking for that. And can I say this? Either should you.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, let God pull you out versus you trying to look, let me test the waters. That's kind of dangerous. Philippians chapter 2. Okay, look at verse number 19. I love this. The Bible says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own." Now, we can stop right there and say, man, sometimes as assistants, that associate pastor, that youth pastor, or whatever, that second position, okay, we could get ourselves in a position where we're always just seeking our own. And that could be very destructive to the entire ministry. What's that word of prayer? Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your grace and for allowing us to meet together. And I pray, Lord, that our time together will be helpful, Lord, to these men. And we ask this now in Christ's name. Amen. Let me give you some observations about being the second man. First of all, it is not an easy position to fill. It is not an easy position to fill. Dana, do you need to put that on? Is that going to work? Okay. And here's the reason why. Let me give you a couple thoughts why it is a difficult position to fill. Number one is this, because our ego. You want to know something? Let's be honest. We all have one. All right? I have one, and you have one. We all have an ego. That's why Paul said, I must die what?
Daily.
Because we could be alive to self real quick, every single one of us. And so, and the Bible says this in James 4:6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resist the proud and gives grace to the humble. Friends, stand up for a minute. This is what God does. If Ryan is filled with self, start walking towards me. God resists him. And he keeps, God resists. But then for the humble, he says he gives grace to the humble. And sometimes in this position that we're in, we can begin, we might have a couple of, I know Ryan, you sing and help with the choir and special music, and God has gifted him tremendously. I can't believe we let you go. That was a bad trait. Man. But you know something? He could come to a point and say, wow, look at what I'm doing. And it could become really inward. And if that happened, that could be really the start of destruction to God's hand of blessing upon him. And so thank you. So our ego, number two, is this. Letter B, the reason why it's a difficult position to fill, we got to be putting aside our own agenda. In other words, when you go to work on Monday, you have an agenda. You have your task list that you want to accomplish. And your pastor may call you into his office and say, hey, listen, I need you to do this. And you're thinking right away, my day's already full. But can I say this? It's not your day, okay? And in a lot of ways, okay? But no, that's where, in this position, we got to put our agenda aside. Number three, our success is dependent greatly upon our leader. Now, that's a bad word, success. Fruitfulness, how about that? Now, you know, if we know Joshua uses Joshua 1:8. But then, really, our success in ministry really depends a lot on the leaders that we serve. And so that second position that we're in is not an easy position to fill. And it takes great spirituality. It takes great commitment on our part. But may I say this, the second thought here. It may be the position you should fill. We need to avoid the position-oriented approach to life. Maybe you heard pastors say that yesterday we had the funeral services for Brother Leo Walther. And Brother Walther, for our graduates in here, everybody knows Brother Walther. A lot of our visitors know Brother Walther because he was just a man that really, he didn't have a position. He didn't have a title. But he was a leader. Because leaders are influencers. And he influenced a lot of people. And in one specific area of encouragement. But he didn't, you know, as I was thinking about this, I shared this with my wife. And as we were traveling down to the graveside, I shared it with Brother Rasmussen. And we just talked about his life and how, really, he didn't have a position. He wasn't a paid staff member. But boy, I tell you what, he had great influence. Now, all of you that you're in that position of the assistant pastor or whatever your title may be, listen, when we don't have that position-oriented approach to life, here it is, we are free from the pull of the ego. We're free from that. I don't have to be the senior pastor. I don't have to have, I'll get my track away already. I don't have to have my pitcher on the track. We're free from that. There's a sense of liberty in our own spirit. Number two is this, our motives then become pure. In other words, I'm not serving, I'm not doing what I'm doing so I could get that next step, that next position. My motives then is simply this. I want to please God. Boy, when our motives are pure, then our vision can be clear. But boy, when our motives are getting really cloudy and maybe even just, how about this, just dirty, okay, sinful, man, we're going to get off track very easily. But when we're not position-oriented, man, our motives can become really pure. Our decisions, number three, our decisions will be based upon God's will, not our will. Number four, we will be fruitful because we are in the right place and in the right position. And number five, we will become content. And may I say this, contentment is not complacent. You know, you might be content in where God has you and what you're doing in ministry, but you ought not to be complacent. I still have that, thank the Lord, still the same fire and desire of fulfilling and doing what God has placed upon my pastor's heart. And I want to be right there being a part of it. I'm thankful for that. I'm not complacent. It'd be pretty hard to be complacent and work for Pastor Jeff, when I was with you. But, you know, but I'm not. That's not my spirit, though. Man, I still want to go out and knock on doors. I still want to, you know, clean the parking lot Saturday night before leadership. Working the water hose. All right? And that's what I did. Pretty glorious, wasn't it? You know, that's what I was doing. But you know, I don't mind that. You know why? Because I'm content. I am thankful for where God's placed me, and I'm beyond blessed. But I'm not complacent. And guys, can I challenge you in this area? Don't become complacent. Don't become to the point where I got a position, I'm on the team, so therein, you know, I'm okay. And I'll probably say this later on, but don't rely on your past victories either. It'd be easy after a few wins to say, okay, you know, I kind of done it now. You know, 23 years. No, I got to still be fruitful. I got to still be, you know, running that race. And so it's important for all of us. Here, there's a statement, I think, in your notes. There's no blanks. I'll just read through it real quick. Being in the second position, I must understand and embrace my role. This position is not any less important than the position of the senior pastor in God's eyes. This second position is God's calling upon my life, and I must receive it wholeheartedly. Assisting the senior pastor to fulfill the vision that God has given to him is not any way diminishing my value for the cause of Christ. In other words, my ministry, my service to God is no less more honoring to him than Pastor Chapel. And I know in our minds we think, whoa. Man, you're walking on thin ice right there. No. Listen. What I'm rendering is to God, is my life, my service. And God is pleased with that. Just as much as that senior pastor. And boy, when we get to that point of just that contentment, like, wow, this is what God has for me. It's just like a football team. Do you realize those linemen, they may not get all the accolades, they may not get the real big contracts, but they're just as important to that team as that quarterback. Yep. I mean, you think about, you know, in basketball, they have the role players, and then you normally have the stars. I mean, just ask the Lakers right now. All right? They had a couple stars, but they didn't have all the role players. They were, who's the star? You know, it was all confusion. They weren't a team. The same thing on a church staff. Listen, you know your role, fulfill it, and be thankful. Wow, this is what God has for me. All right, now let's look at, I think there's 7 points here, okay? Number one, the pastor vision must be recognized. In other words, you need to understand the vision that your pastor has if you're going to help him to fulfill that. And Brother Ryan, as being Stephen Chappell's, you know, assistant, you need to know what his vision is. His vision for the worship service, the vision for special music, the vision for, I'm not sure else what you do, okay? But I know you do those, right? You need to know his heart in those areas. And then you need to then take that, and then you need to expand on that. Now, you may get a little bit farther out than may he might be comfortable. He might pull you back in, but that's okay. And same thing probably in all of our lives. He said, okay, I want you to run with this. Now, listen, pastor said, hey, I want you to run with this, and I ran with it, and I ran a little bit too far. And he said, first, I want you to do. I was just running. You know? Don't go that fast, you know. And he pulled me in. But that's okay. It's not like, oh, man, you hurt my feelings. I'm not going to run anymore. Tell me what to do, A to Z. Listen, he doesn't want to do that, and honestly, I don't want that. And that's where you come in, and you, yes, you surrender your agenda. You surrender, you know, like, it has to be my way. Listen, no, he's the leader. And we submit to that. But listen, when you do that, listen, then there's a great door of freedom that opens up to you. Once he knows, listen, once he knows he has your heart. Listen, I don't think Pastor Steve Chappell wants to micromanage you. But I'm sure he did in the first year. Because they want to know, can I trust him? Now let me ask you, this is not in your notes, okay? But can your pastor trust you? Can he trust you? Here it is. We need to acknowledge. Okay, listen to number one. Number one thought underneath this one. Okay. You must acknowledge that the pastor's vision has come from the Lord. Okay? In other words, I know that my pastor, he walks with God. I know the struggle, the internal twisting of his heart and soul when he announced to the church that we're going to build the West Wing. I know that he said, oh. And he came to a point and says, this is what God wants us to do. And guess what? Once he said that, this is my response. Hey, this is what God wants us to do. Okay? Do you understand that? It's got to be that quick. Okay? So we must acknowledge. So you got to have that respect for your pastor. And honestly, if you don't have that respect for your pastor, that, man, he's a man of God, he walks with God, okay? If you don't have that, honestly, you should quietly leave. How can you follow a man, embrace a man's vision if you don't trust him? Listen, because it's going to come out.
Yeah.
And you're going to hurt others around you. Right. Number two, you must know the pastor's vision. I know pastor's vision. You know why? Because I listen to him in meetings. I listen to his preaching. By praying. By spending time with your pastor and asking appropriate questions. You get to know and understand his heart. Now, all I can do is speak of my pastor. Pastor Chappell, normally 99.9% of the time, he communicates. And you know the direction and what he wants. You just know that. Now, and that's, I think, probably one of his strengths, definitely. Now, your pastor may be a little bit, might be made up a little bit different. You may have to listen more intently. You might even have to ask a question here or there so that you understand it. You might, as a new staff member, you say, now, Pastor, this is what I was thinking. Are you okay with this? Okay? Just don't go in there and say, okay, Pastor, what do you want? What do you want me to do in this, whatever he gives to you? Bring some options to him and then let him look at it. But this is early on so you can understand his heart. Okay? And because sometimes it might be a little bit hard. I know when Brother Larry Chappell was going through some health challenges, Pastor was, you know, he was so burdened for his son that at times we had to ask more questions because he was so consumed with what his son was going through, we wanted to know his heart a little bit more. We weren't hearing it. And so we had to ask more questions during that time. Number three, you must understand the pastor's vision. Understand is the importance. Understand the importance of the vision. Understand the ramifications of the vision. Just imagine the West Wing and how God's using this just for this conference, just this one little event. Letter C, understand the role is seeing the vision become a reality. Number four, you must pray for wisdom in how to answer questions about the pastor's vision. And here it is. People ask staff questions that they will never ask the senior pastor. Okay? They just will. They might be intimidated. They might be just, you know, pastor's too busy. Or they may just have a little, you know, axe to grind maybe, and they were just trying to see if they could get you onto their side or whatever. Okay? But always pray. When people come to you and they start asking you questions, always be discerning. Be careful how you answer those. It's just important. Okay? Let her be there. Remember that what you say will be repeated. Okay? Brother Furso said, you know, oh boy, what did I say? All right? It's going to come out. And let her see, be extremely supportive of the direction that the pastor's going. Now, Dr. Gibbs mentioned it this morning. Let me just give it to you. When your pastor announces something, hey, we're going to go to a new service schedule, okay? The church is going to watch you. They're going to watch your response to that announcement. If you're going to do service, all right? Or if you're reading your bulletin while he's doing it, or whatever, if you're not dialed in and engaged and excited, amen. Listen, people are going to read that. Number two, the pastor's vision must be received. Each staff member must fully embrace the vision of the pastor. Now, sometimes pastor will ask us for questions. Hey, what's your input? What do you think about this? What do you think about this? But, well, listen, once he makes the decision, doesn't matter where you're at on those different opinions, ideas, as soon as he makes that call, we got to be over there. Okay? We all got to be on the same page. My embracement is a spiritual process. Here it is. And we ought to go through them quickly. God has given this vision to my pastor. God has given this. God has led me to be a part of this staff to accomplish God's will through my pastor. God has gifted me to be an active player on this team. Are these all in your notes?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I accept wholeheartedly the role that my pastor assigns to me. My embracement of this vision will include not only my actions, but also my attitude. And so when something's made or a decision's made, you know, if I'm struggling with it for whatever reason, okay, you know, being here for going on 23 years now, there's a lot of things that were mine and no longer mine. Just through the years. I mean, the one thing that has never been mine is the music, all right? And he's never passed me that rock. I don't know why, okay? But it has never come my way. But there's been a lot of things that he's given to me, and boy, there's some things he took away, and I'm saying, praise the Lord. I was in the school for 2 years, and I just couldn't wait to get out of that baby. I was out of the school, praise God. And he was like, oh, no, Pastor, please let me be in the school still. And no, he took that away. And there was no struggle in my spirit on that one. Okay, good. All right, but there's others like, well, I don't know if I want to give that up yet. Man, I really enjoy doing that. And that's when you kind of have to work through some of this. Because
when you get something, hopefully you embrace it. And hopefully you're putting your heart into it. And when you do that, listen, there is a process. It's hard to give it back then. I was at school. I didn't mind being the school teacher, you know. Back in those early days, I really didn't mind. But I knew one thing. I wasn't trained for that. Honestly, don't tell some of those kids. I had no idea what I was doing. I was teaching Spanish.
Yeah. Taco. You know? That was it. Put the video in. You know? Grade their papers.
I know. It was unbelievable. You know?
But listen, I knew I wasn't gifted for that. I wasn't trained for that. But you know what I'm saying? I still try to do my best. But it was really easy to give that one up. But then there was others that, boy, it was hard. I mean, like the education. I think I've had that like 3 times. And I got it, I loved it, and the pastor said, okay, I need to give it away. Okay. And then transition, give it back to me. And then okay, I need to get away again. It's like, Pastor, let me just have it. Now I gotta get away. And so you kind of go through those processes. And that's when you own something, it's like you own it. But that's where you say, okay, I gotta let this go. All right? And if you don't, listen, what's gonna happen is you're gonna have a stinking rotten attitude. Yeah. And let me say that will then evade, that will pervade then into other staff members. And so you got to really protect your own spirit. All right, next, number 3. The pastor visit must be reciprocated. A couple thoughts. Number 1, the pastor cannot be the only one voicing the vision. In other words, in the venues where I might be speaking, I got to be voicing what he's voicing. In other words, like in my adult class, okay, he's talking about a building program, guess what? I got to be just excited about it. Or even more excited. See, in other words, I could say some things that he probably can't. Or maybe think he shouldn't say it. But I can say it. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, I can say it. Hey, do we realize how much pastor's going on the limb here? Now he's doing it for our families, for our kids, our grandkids. Now we need to get behind this. And, you know, I can say some things that maybe he can't. Next, each staff member plays the important role in communicating the vision to those in their realm of influence. Okay? I remember in the early days, you know, he'd guess around and say, okay, now Brother Smith, when you talk to the choir, all right, I need you to say this. Now, Brother Smith, when you get to the soul winning, I want you to say this. Brother Hawk, I want you to say this in the school. And now in your classes, and especially with the teens, and brother, how in your class, but first in your class, when she said, and guess what? We all had different realms and different people and overlapping. But what Pastor was training us, he said, listen, the church needs to hear it from all different angles. They were striving together. Okay? Number 3, church members tend to measure themselves up to the lowest staff member. Can I challenge you? Set the bar up high. Don't do what's just expected of you. Can I challenge you? Be a second mile assistant. Number 4, the pastor's vision must be reflected. Here it is, reflected through my excitement, my participation, and my spirit. Dr. Gibbs told one day, Brother Schmidt, and that rat left a year ago, and he thinks God called him into being the senior pastor. But God bless. I tease him all the time. So, but we had this trip. We had Dr. Gibbs, and Pastor had us pick him up one time, and we had a couple hours with him in the car, and he just talked to us.
And just the wisdom that Dr. Gibbs had just about the area of just your spirit. Your spirit. You know, your spirit is contagious. Good or bad. If you have a bad spirit, that's contagious. If you have a good spirit, that's contagious. And can I say this? Here it is. Your spirit is a choice. You decide if you're going to be a grump. You decide if you're going to be cranky and just mean and argumentative. You choose to do that. Or you just say, hey, man, we're going to do something for the Lord. And can I say this? Work on your countenance. I thought, man, there's no females in here. But man, just be excited about what God's doing. Your spirit, your assignment, participation in your spirit. Like we have work days around here. All right? Guess what? I was at them. I didn't go to all of them. I think we had 1,015 of them. I think. But you know, my wife and I, one night, we came out, we worked. We washed windows. And you know, we enjoyed it. And then she said, my back's killing me. I said, honey, you go home. I got somebody else to help me. And just wash windows. And Saturday night, you know, like, you know, we were washing the streets, cleaning gutters. I mean, but you know what I said? I didn't mind. I loved it. Just listen, you know why? I'm doing it for the Lord. And here it is. You could have thought, wow, if I was a senior pastor, I wouldn't be out here with the water hose. Well, if I was a senior pastor, I don't see him washing the windows. And boy, you know that the old devil could jump on your shoulder pretty quick. And that devil could steal your spirit like that and get you sideways. And think, boy, you know what? I think I need to be doing something else. Number five.
The pastor's vision must be reevaluated. And this is what I mean by this. The pastor lives with the vision and the burden of it 24/7. Now listen, I try to walk in his shoes, but I really can't.
Yeah.
Right? Because I only know just that much of the pie. While there's that much of the pie, I just know what he shares with me. And a good staff member will try to carry that burden. We'll try to walk in those shoes. Honestly, I don't really think a whole lot about the offering. Rush just said this to me. He called me up. He said, I said, how was your first Sunday? He said, man, we had a great offering. And then he started laughing. He said, man, he said, for 20-some years, I never thought of the offering. There's a lot of things we don't think about. Now listen, when you start having layoffs and things like that, you ought to be sensitive. You know, maybe that big thing you want to do that's going to cost $15,000, maybe it's not that time to put that PO in. Mm-hmm. Just being sensitive to that area, but try to walk in their shoes. Here it is. We need to evaluate our heart for the vision. We need to embrace that vision continually. And we need to share our excitement. We talked about that. Number six. The pastor vision will involve personal resolve. Here it is. Stay personally committed to the vision. Stay personally committed. And how many of you here are Sunday night? Some of you guys here Sunday? All right. And some of you, college students, graduates are here. You know, we were teased for being called maybe the Banquet Baptist Church. We'd have all these, stewardship banquets. And for 23 years, we've had banquets that I've been here. And every year, we've given to it. And every year, we've sacrificed. And we've done some things so that we could give. You know why? Because we're committed. When you have that commitment, you find solutions. You find ways to get things done. Because there's commitment. Number three, stay personally connected in fulfilling the vision. Number seven, the pastor vision will require reassurance. Listen, the pastor will need your love. Pastor will need your loyalty. The pastor will need your labor. And the pastor will need your longevity. I remember, I think it was 1994 when we first moved in a north building and had a guest speaker come, just talked to staff. It was just the staff men. And he talked about the relationship from the pastor with the staff, to the staff guys. And he used this analogy. It's not a perfect one, but it kind of gets you thinking. It's like a husband-wife relationship. And he compared the position of the pastor as the husband and the assistant as the wives. And he said this. He said, how would the husband feel if the wife was always considering on leaving? Just think about that. I mean, how secure would that husband be? How eager, think about this, as men, how eager would that senior pastor be willing to share his heart? I mean, normally for men to our wives, it's pretty hard for us to kind of open up and be honest and transparent. Because we want all of our wives to think, you know what, we got our act together. That we have no needs. That we're like Superman, Batman, or whoever your superhero is, okay? All right? And sometimes, because we want them to think we just got it together. If we thought our wife was going to leave us, we would never, never, ever be honest and transparent. How you doing? Fine. I'm doing great. We would just put it on. Amen? If your pastor doesn't have your heart, it's your fault. I believe we need to give it. We need to give my heart. Here it is. And I think it's embodied by, your loyalty, your longevity, your labor, and your love. Now let me give you 10 practical ways to be a blessing to your pastor. You have that? All right. We'll fly through this. I think we're on overtime. So we're supposed to end at 3:15? Yeah, 3:30? Oh, 3:30. Okay. All right. I think he's lying. I don't think they're an hour long, but here we go. Number one, embrace your calling as a second man. Embrace it. Now, I know that God may later on direct you to go someplace else and be the senior pastor. I understand that.
Okay? And I went through that. Okay, I had that struggle. But once I got peace, okay, and this was better. I want to embrace it. Yeah, I want to embrace it. It's just, man, this is what God has for me. Okay? And there's verses there. We don't take time to read it. But number two, elevate the pastor before the people. Now, I try to do this. I'm not going to say I do this 100% of the time. But I try in my class, that would be the major speaking time that I have, is this bring something into my lesson that connects the people to the pastor. Something like, man, pastor made this statement. Might be in the middle of my lesson, pastor made this statement. And use it. Okay, and I try to do that. I'm not trying to get the people to embrace me. I'm there trying to get them to embrace their pastor. Because I know what he's going to do.
Right.
He's going to deflect them and point them to Christ. Right. Now, I believe this with all my heart. That would be better for me. Now, in some counseling, you know, I'd be sitting there talking to somebody and saying, you got to keep your focus on the Lord. Okay? But there's times, too, that I say, man, you know, we got to follow our pastor. Mm-hmm. And Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. So there's nothing wrong with following a human being as long as they are leading you and you're growing in your walk with Christ. There's nothing wrong with that. And so, elevate the pastor before the people. Number three, excitement must be demonstrated regarding the direction of the church. Now, number four, now think about this, Ben. Express your love and appreciation often. When was the last time you wrote your pastor a note? See, that's very practical. When was the last time you got him a gift? Just showing your appreciation. Just express it, and express it often. Number five, execute your task with diligence. And be a hard worker. Be a man of God that your pastor can count on. That he would want to shoot you a text that he needs you to do this. Be that one that he can call on and execute and do it with diligence. Number six, evaluate your own personal fruitfulness. Are you being fruitful in the ministry? Now, I believe, I know we all got different, you know, responsibilities or, you know, roles that we fill. But we all need to be fruitful in the ministry. And fruitful, when I'm talking about fruitfulness, I'm talking about reaching people. And it doesn't matter if you're the principal of the school. Yes, fulfill your duties there and be diligent and build that school. But reach people. And music, if that's what you do, Ryan. Reach people. Add people to the church body. And we need to step back and we need to ask ourselves, okay, when's the last time I had someone down the aisle? ask ourselves that question. Well, I'll be honest with you. I went through a little slump here. And I was frustrated. I'll be honest, I'm frustrated. Man, I'm swinging and swinging. I'm missing and missing. And, you know, that one couple pastor mentioned, Primo, and you see that my sweetheart list. I've been by their house, I think, 12 times. Bought a home once, the very first time, and they were walking out the door. I've been at church, and, hey, I want to come over, and Dan's going to call you and set up an appointment. Okay, yeah, sure. Never get a hold of them. Well, they got saved. They walked down the aisle, got saved on Sunday morning, praise the Lord, calling up for baptism, and then we catch them home. So Sunday, I didn't know that pastor kind of put the pressure on him in the starting points class. But I came up to him before the 11 o'clock service. I saw him and sat down by him and said, man, I've been by your house, I don't know how many times. Yeah, we're getting your nose, we're getting your nose. I said, man, I'm thinking, I'm going to just get him now. I'm not knowing what pastor is. Okay? I said, how would you like to get baptized today? He still said no. And I said, well, I said, let me explain it to you. So I took time to talk to him about what baptism was. I said, this is what it means. It's like, you know, you're a Dodgers fan, right? Yeah. So he said, you wear a jersey. You're not ashamed to wear a Dodgers jersey, are you? He said, no. I said, because that's your team. I said, that's what baptism is. Baptism is letting everybody know that you're on Jesus' team. Kind of use that and kind of talk to them as a step of obedience. And you know, I even threw some verses in there. Okay, you go spiritual. All right? They just talk about sports. All right? And then I looked at his wife. I said, how about it? You guys ready? And I looked at Brenda and I said, yeah. And then she kind of looked at Primo. I said, how about it, Primo? How about today? Anniversary Sunday. He looked at his wife. Okay, we'll do it. And guess what? They walked down the aisle and got baptized. And you know, that's great. And you want to know something? I had another guy that, after I got out of the baptistry, there's a guy I led to Christ last week. He was standing there in his clothes. He said, I was going to get baptized, but I didn't know when to come forward. You know? And I said, I was looking for you in the service. I didn't see you. So he's scheduled for Sunday. So praise the Lord for that. But you know, I wouldn't say I was discouraged. You know, I said, man. And it's something you just have to work. Because I want to be fruitful. All right? Next. Okay? Embody, and we talked about this, embody the right spirit to other staff members. All right? Just embody the right spirit. You know, Brother Christensen and I have never gotten along. Yeah, man, we've never done that. We just need to embody the right spirit. Now, can I say this, all right? There's going to be times where I'm going to have a bad day. There's going to be times when pastor's going to have a bad day. There's going to be times when you're going to have a bad day. There's going to be times you're going to have a bad day. Now, let's just chop it up, right? But you want to know something? My wife and I have this rule. We've been married for 32 years. We made this rule. Here it is, real deep, okay? We decided 32 years ago that we cannot have a bad day on the same day. So if I'm having a bad day, guess what? She has to be up. And if she's having a bad day, I got to be up. Sometimes we'll jump out of bed and say, I'm having a bad day. You have to be spiritual. All right, so here it is. Here it is. Let's take it into ministry now. If you sense your pastor's having a bad day, you be up. Because you have no idea what he's carrying. And can I say this? If he's having a bad day, give him some grace. My data knows that sometimes I have a bad day. And sometimes I'll kind of, Dan, what are you doing here? No, I wouldn't say it like that. But maybe I would. But then later I say, Dan, I'm sorry if I came across too hard. Just had a bad day. And, you know, we're human beings. But that's where, guess what, we need to give grace. We need to extend that. To one another. You know why? Because I'm committed to this thing. I'm committed to it.
I've given 20 some years, okay? I'm committed. But this is your first year, you'd be committed. Now, this is, and I know some guys do this. He says, Pastor, you know, I think God wants me to pastor someday, but I'll be here for 3 years. Well, if I was CD pastor, I would definitely want to know that up front. You know what I'm saying? And the whole idea, okay, I'm going to prepare you, maybe together we'll start a church, we'll send you out and be a part of that church plan. Okay? But man, you know, how strong would a church be if the senior pastor kept on leaving every 3 years? Right? Wouldn't be too strong, would it? How strong would a church be if the assistant pastors were always leaving every 2 years? So there needs to be that sense that, you know, that there's a commitment here. Let's give our lives to something, amen? Mm-hmm. Next. Number 8, edify your pastor by remembering special occasions. Hebrews 13:7, remember, acknowledge. Remember his birthday. Remember their anniversary, their church's anniversary. As a staff, and as maybe you might be the only staff member, okay? Then you lead the church in that charge of recognizing the pastor's birthday, recognizing, you know, the pastor's anniversary, wedding anniversary, church anniversary, Christmas time. And so you take that lead in that area. Get with a couple of the deacons and say, hey, this is what we ought to do. We ought to honor. Remember those special occasions. Number 9, we talked about this. Engage yourself in the pastor's vision. I love what the Bible says in 1 Samuel 14. Where Samuel said, hey, or Jonathan said, let's charge this hill. And his armor bearer said to him, do all that is in thine heart. Mm-hmm. Wow, isn't that awesome? What a second man. Mm-hmm. And number 10, encourage your pastor by random acts of love.